With no people in.
Oh, okay.
But okay, let me see. So like this. All right, but let's not waste any more time. This is just gonna be a no solutions.
This is on?
Afternoon. Yeah, but it's not plugged in yet.
Alright.
It's on. All right. Okay, change of plans.
The break wasn't a break.
We wanted to do something else. We wanted to go sauna, but yeah, like it's just the people around here are just you know,
too much time.
Yeah, that's it's. I think it's in their history. You know, like ever since this one guy came to power, they were speaking weird and just had this weird mustache. It went all downhill from there. From this
was it Jean Barbet?
People, yeah, no, different guy. Different guy.
Shorter.
Not as hard to pronounce the name.
Memorable name.
Yeah, very memorable.
He had really good marketing.
Yeah, great marketing.
Great designs, yeah. Beautiful logos.
Oh man, like the suits he made, they're still killer. The Hugo Boss was behind all that. Crazy, great cars.
Killer cars.
Killer cars. Great Autobahn that he built, you know, great streets. He did many things.
Where
many
are
things.
Leaders like that?
Today? Oh, they're reappearing.
They're coming back.
They're coming back. Yeah. There's yeah, some many people I think would like to have a second merry-go-round around the authoritarian regime kind of thing.
It hasn't really been tried, you know.
Exactly. Full real socialism hasn't been tried yet. Well, anyway, we're just gonna talk about your adventures some more. So change of plans. We're gonna grab a drink. At the box office. You'll see. I'll show you.
The Ant-Man box.
Because we actually made the mistake multiple times, I think, right? With just kind of completely dehydrating during a No Solutions recording. So yeah, let's not make this mistake again.
Four times the same mistake.
Yeah, I mean, at
least it's not under the Madeira.
We're behaving like LLM agents, you know. It's just like never learn.
You are totally right.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, give me a couple of billion dollars to retrain myself, and maybe I'll not make the mistake again. All right.
Jeff sent me today this. This thing, I know it was like a very long report. I only read the first two lines. They were very interesting. That apparently someone prompted them with fix world poverty.
Oh, okay.
Apparently they let the thing run for like, I don't know how, like I have no idea what the setup was. But apparently it made like a Google Doc and a React app. Nothing worked. Like all the different Asians were saying that they had conflicts, that each one of them, like after like 2 days of working, they realized that they were working in isolated workspaces. One of them was trying to debug, but it couldn't log in into Google.
So world hunger is still not fixed?
It's still not fixed.
Man. What a shame. What a shame. But that would be interesting. What because what they actually do is like take the accumulated written knowledge of the world and trying to make sense of it. And how would the accumulated knowledge of the world fix world hunger? Because it's
a React app.
It's well, that explains the state of the world. I would have guessed like straight up communism, basically. That would have been my guess. But I think world hunger is actually basically fixed in some sense. Like there's more fat people than starving people, and it has been like this for a very long time.
Yeah.
And I mean, we are producing food like crazy. Like we have an overabundance
of
food.
It's not amount of food, it's distribution and stuff like that.
Yeah. And corruption in the really poor places and so on.
But yeah, anyway. In Argentina, there was this... this organization sending food from Buenos Aires to like very poor provinces, and sometimes they would put like, you know, inside of whatever, like a box or something like that, they would put like messages.
Yeah.
And they would pop up being sold, the same food of box being sold in Buenos Aires.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Repurposing.
I see. They built a system just like the the NFC tags, the RFID tags, but just handwritten notes, just to figure out how, where stuff circulates. That's smart, actually. Speaking of Argentina, tell me about all your other projects.
None of them are about Argentina. I only do like projects that might go somewhere at some point. it's interesting. Like most of the stuff, like basically all the stuff that I'm doing is as a way to test stuff for 10x. Like again, I did OLAS and NDK Swift and OLAS Android and OLAS Web, like all the old stuff that it serves in the purpose of I need to build something to test the thing. The focus has been 100% on this. I also find it insanely interesting. Like it is so fascinating, the type of problems. Integrated NDK Swift and NDK Kotlin with Noster DB. Then I've been doing a lot of work with Agora, with Leopoldo Lopez.
Yeah.
It's an interesting client. It's a client that it's sort of like starting from the premise of, instead of the premise of like rebuilding Twitter or, you know, like this more global quote unquote feed, it's starting from the premise of you only care about your immediate surroundings.
Yeah.
So when you join, it's kind of assumed that you're joining because someone invited you.
Okay. Yeah.
So I wrote. You need a card to join?
Yeah. There's KYC at the entrance. Oh no. I'm already locked out. All right. I'll need another one. I'll need another identity. Let me see.
Let's see.
But that's bad. Then now we might dehydrate completely.
I have none.
But maybe
works with
maybe,
there we go.
See? Oh well. It just needed a while to copy the card, you know, just to completely scam me.
It just needed 40 proofs of identity.
All right. What do you want to have? I really like this one. That's some sort of.
So like mango?
No, it's almost like an iced tea, but it's incredibly low in sugar.
Okay. Yeah, I'll have one of those.
There's regular water as well. If you want some more, no, you'll be fine with this.
I'm fine with that. Yeah.
All right. Let's do it.
You know, having someone to blame if it's bad is.
that's a benefit. You learned that from your agents. So, how did the launch go? Of the client and all those kind of things.
It's still an ongoing process.
All right. And so the idea is kind of local. Basically, you build your network by the network of invites. Is that right?
Yeah, that's basically it. So, like, I think trust is something that within Bitcoin is kind of don't trust verify.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of value in trust if you can trust.
Oh, sure.
Like, I'm doing peer-to-peer trades right now, I told you.
Yeah, yeah.
In a way that because I know the counterpart so well,
yeah,
I can pay him like a couple of days later. We don't need an escrow. Sure. We don't need like a lot of all of these things, right?
Yeah.
So what if you do the peer-to-peer trade with someone that you know how you are related to that person? If it's a neighbor or if you know someone that can vouch for that person because you can see cryptographically linked, this person was invited into the relay by this other person.
Yeah.
It has a bunch of interesting things. I built the use case is very different than what we think of Noster as. Like the use case is a lot about a local place for where people can have like a public square, but within one specific region, and they might be doing citizen journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those people, they don't wanna like dox their real identity if they're publishing stuff about corruption and stuff like that if they are in those places,
sure.
Right? Physically. But what if you can kind of out of bound without leaving like any trace be able to say, hey, I'm going to be publishing with this PubKey, I'm going to be publishing something, and you can vouch for this person. And it's kind of like a source, like a journalist says, they don't say who the source is. The journalist is saying, this is a credible source. You don't need to know who that person is. You just need to trust that the journalist is not lying.
Yeah, I see.
So you can do the same thing. And with Innocent, we can do all that shit out of band.
Yeah.
Within, like, with gift wraps and all the things, right?
Yeah.
In a way that Leopoldo or someone that is well known within that community says, this is a credible person. It's not publishing bullshit. I'm lending my credibility to this PubKey.
Yeah.
And that PubKey can publish whatever they need to.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't implemented that, but I will. They can do the publishing with via onion routing, like stuff that we built in software engineering, where not even their IP address is leaked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there are no ties to their real identity in any kind of way.
Yeah, you can build a dedicated publishing tool that takes care of all of that.
That take care and all the tech, because you go from the premise that these are non-technical people, which is actually the case.
Yeah, it's actually
the case. Activists are non-technical people.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. I mean, I've onboarded a bunch and like almost everyone, of course, you know, lost their first key.
Including
but I think that's also fine. I think that's a you know, it's a very inexpensive lesson to learn. And it's
but,
also
but
something
that's also something, you know, that we're working on fixing.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be fixed in some way in the long run with again, like I think Fadi did this really well. I think Fadi had the right ideas around that with kind of a community based backup and recovery approach, those kind of things. I think that's really nice.
So we did Noster XXXXX, like a month ago or so. And we did a session just on this, just on identity migration. And we ran through the proposal that I wrote like 2 years ago and I did the implementation. And I had some refinement because one of the things is the Agora client comes with an IP60 wallet. And you can get subs. There will be like substantial subs because there is some real funds coming from people that you know.
Yeah.
And the money is in the key.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So now that the key is not just your identity, it's also fucking money.
Yeah.
So, and this is non-technical people. So now what I built for Agora, that we are now like making an IP around it, is when at some point, you know, like you get to enough followers, there is enough value on the private key to make it worth your while. You can select people, not that you trust, you select people that you can reach, which is different. And all you're doing is you symmetrically encrypt with like a passphrase that you remember, you know, it doesn't have to be like super secure. It's just to protect yourself a little bit more.
Yeah.
Shamir's secret, sharding the private key. And you send it as a follow event from an ephemeral key to the people that you say that you not trust again. Someone that you can call on the phone.
Yeah.
And you, with enough quorum, say 3 out of 5, whatever it might be, if you tell them, okay, send me the shard, send me the shard, send me the shard, which is, they don't need to know what a shard is.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But
yeah.
It's a click here,
it's all
click
extracted
here,
away. Yeah, yeah.
And
help this person recover.
You get your key back. Yeah. So that protects you from, I lost my key.
Yeah.
And the identity migration stuff protects you from, my key got stolen.
Yeah.
Someone else has my key. Two very different things. Yeah, we can solve with the same problem.
Yeah, but what you can solve, and I think, or correct me if I'm wrong, but one really hard problem is like if you build stuff up over time, like, and your key gets stolen, like the rolling over old events, basically.
No, that's to me it's a problem not
worth solving.
Not worth solving. Yeah.
I agree.
You can do some. you can do some stuff around it.
Yeah.
It's.
You can republish with the new one.
You can republish with the new one. There's still old events are going to be linked. Tagging the old.
No, and it's also what I like about Noster is, and to some degree also about Bitcoin is that it just it works in practice, even if all, like not every problem is perfectly solved theoretically. And I think that's one of those. Yeah, there you go. There is no solutions to certain things. And yeah, I think I agree with you that particular problem is probably not worth solving. But the key loss, like onboarding and loss problem, is definitely worth solving. And
it's very kind of trivially solvable. It is kind of trivial to solve.
And again, I think Fedi did a really good job with that. That was kind of there were wallets before that did also the social recovery, Shamir secret sharing thing. And that also worked as far as I know. But the issue with that is always that they had to bootstrap their own social network, basically. Exactly. And that's where Nosta shines, where you can just like, you already have your contacts, you already know the people, and you just need to, during the setup process, basically select like the five people. Or select the 10 people or whatever that are actually reachable. Talk to me more about the reachable versus trust thing. Why is this distinction important here?
Well, you're not giving them your key. You know what I mean? Shamir, they don't really gain any kind of special access. The fact that they don't even know necessarily, I mean, they can guess it, but they wouldn't necessarily know who the other counterparts are of the split, because it's all published with a different key, and it's all published in a follow event.
You just know you're a person, you don't know the whole quorum. So conspiring is very hard.
You don't even know that you are a holder until someone asks you, hey, I need
you will know help. You will know
you
after
will know
the fact.
Only
okay.
after the fact.
Okay, okay.
Which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's you are p-tagging them on a kind three, on a follow. Yeah. All they see is a follow event. There is just this weird payload somewhere on the event. But if you see the event on Primal or something, you will just see someone followed you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I see. Okay. Yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. What else was discussed in the Nostr XXX event?
I think
what
the most interesting
kind of the main
the,
points.
The most interesting stuff was the identity. I think it's like something that is still very important to solve properly.
Yeah, the next cohort will focus on identity purely, basically.
Right.
Let's see how it goes.
All the implementations will go there. What else? What else did we discuss? We discussed not paywalls, but like subscriptions and stuff like that. That's still yet to be solved.
It's one of my pet peeves, as you know. There's still so many people in the Bitcoin world and in the Nostr world that are trying to paywall content. I'm just going to yap about that for a couple of minutes because that's just I still think it's so misguided. And it's just kind of, I don't know, look at the most, I don't know. It's very frustrating to me because I just think it's the wrong approach. Mm. And if you look at online creators, how they actually make money and how they monetize themselves, it's not with paywalled content in the traditional sense. Hmm. And I see that's my main criticism for most people that would like to do that is still that most people think about paywalls with, you cannot see the blog post, but if you pay 21 cents, then you will be able to see the blog post. And that just never works because like someone will pay it and screenshot it and then send it around for free.
Yeah.
And the distinction is terribly important because what actually works is, I mean, you see that on Twitch and then on the big platforms and so on. OnlyFans is maybe a great example as well, where like, I mean, I still don't know why people pay for OnlyFans, but in the best case, it's kind of early access, you know?
Yeah.
It's actually like all this stuff is, you cannot box content in no matter how hard you try. And so what you can monetize is special times and places where you have like an elevated access level, basically. And I think Fiajev is right about his kind of relay idea that kind of you like it could be relay based in some sense, where it's like this this relay is like paid only, and it's very much like a, you know, a closed chat room that you might have on Discord or what have you, and those kind of things.
And it's this thing that doesn't scale, right? Like, you can copy content endlessly for no cost.
Exactly, that's
but
the thing.
But you cannot copy a relationship.
Yeah, you can't copy a live chat that has Q&A and those kinds of things.
Exactly, you can copy a one-on-one or a 10-to-1 with a creator.
Yeah. Anyway, like, quick rant about that, because I still see projects and I still see people trying to make paywalls, like traditional paywalls, work. And I think they're just very misguided. I still think, I don't know, like, in some sense, I mention Twitch a lot in these kind of conversations. Yeah, it's nice.
Right? Shit.
There you go.
I'm going to take a picture of this.
Yeah, let's go.
My kids are going to be insanely jealous of it. I'm going to be like, I saw this. You did it.
You did not.
But you know me, and I saw them. So you 1 degree of separation.
1 degree of separation. You saw it by proxy. That's cute, right?
Yeah. I think
there, like, not too long ago, we saw a deer. Like every day,
really,
or different deers. Kind
wow!
Of. It's because the we had to drive the same route all the time.
Yeah,
and just every single day there was a deer somewhere, either on the street or in the field nearby and so on. But yeah, it's you know, it's very, very romantic, very romantic place. We are in a romantic stroll kind of situation, like shitting on paywalls. Romantically shitting on paywalls.
No, I think it's kind of interesting, because I think there is a like, our instinct is to build with the new technology what has already been built before without this new technology. I think we did the same thing. And it's kind of like the realization I've been having lately with Noster, is that we started just rebuilding the alternative to Twitter, the alternative to, like, to Instagram that I built.
Yeah.
And I think it's the wrong framing. Like, I told this to Emilian. It's like doing Noster adoption in hard mode. It's you are picking the hardest battle, because you're focusing on a problem of a network effects, an overserved market, like the level of the quality of the applications that you're going against is insane. Like, you'll never be able to match that. And there are new things that can be built because of this technology. Because of Bitcoin, because of Noster, there are new things that could not be built before. And I find that so much more interesting.
But I think it's very hard to figure out what the new things are. Let's go here. Mm. By the way, I think we're in the process of trying to figure it out. I still think it's valuable to have a Substack and Medium and Instagram and Twitter replacement and so on. Like, just speaking purely selfishly. Oh, what are you looking at?
It's just I came on that seat on the flight over. I actually took a picture.
There you go.
I meant to send it to you. No coincidences.
21 is everywhere. But like, for me, Noster replaced Twitter completely. And I know I'm a very special case. I know, it was only Bitcoin, Twitter, and
like
so on.
All the people that are currently on Noster, we are a different market.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a totally different
audience. To me, it's kind of like, to me, it's not clear what the new things are outside of the frictionless value sending that Bitcoin and Saps and Lightning and eCash and everything provides, which is kind of a little bit outside of Noster. Strong overlap, but you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like, the rest of it is a very hard sell. The rest of it is kind of the... I talked about this in the past, the computer science professor that self-hosts his, like, static index HTML website and has self-hosted it for the last 40 years from his, like, you know, toaster that runs Linux on it from his closet, you know. That's the value proposition. It's like, you, if you know how to use Noster right, you can actually be self-sovereign in this corner of the internet. And the corner of the internet very much feels like what the platforms brought us.
So here's the, what I've been thinking is that, like, I think intuitively we think, like, our instinct compels us to think that the next thing is a replica of the previous big thing. Like, all the people that go for shitcoins is, what is the next Bitcoin? And the next Bitcoin is Bitcoin, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I think that's the case. Like, what is the next Facebook? It's fucking Facebook. Like, all this is not going to be the next Instagram, because the next Instagram is Instagram. What I think is compelling, and I don't know if you follow, like, how close you follow, like, the stuff that goes on Substack, but there is a lot of backlash against Substack for the simple reason, and it's an unfixable problem, which I think is so fucking interesting. It's just a function of size. It is so big, and it's always Pareto distribution. Right? Mm. There's always a few people making a fuckload of money.
Yeah, yeah, everyone
and
else.
Everybody else starves.
Yeah.
And everybody else is trying to get, what is the latest marketing gimmick of what you can do, how much you have to post on notes, on Substack, and they're all playing for peanuts.
Yeah.
They're all working their fucking asses off. They went there with the assumption that it's a small market, which is why it worked at the beginning. Mm. It worked not because of how the thing is structured or because the founders have, like, really good intentions or whatnot. Like, the intentions don't matter. It's just the size is so big. And it's always going to be Pareto because humans, we think this way. Like, you see that someone has a million followers, and you're going to pay more attention.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's how the universe works. I mean, Peterson had a long, rant on that many, many years ago. It's the Matthew principle, like, to you know, it's in the Bible already. I don't know the verse, but it's like, to those who have everything, more will be given. And to those who have nothing, you know, even more will be taken. Those kind of things. So it's similar. Like, you can see the Pareto distribution everywhere. Like, size of stars, height of trees, you know, nutrition in like, you know, packs of animals. Like, the most successful will get everything, basically. Like, or like 80% of it. It seems to be just a, yeah.
It's how just things work. It's just and, how the universe is structured.
And. But do you think Nostr will have an easier time kind of counteracting that? In some sense, like, let me rephrase that. It seems to me that all the platforms are especially prone to that because you have, like, one single lens on the whole graph, so to speak. And email, for example, doesn't have this issue that much.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
I would guess.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like, the way I think about it is that within a platform, which is a database, you're putting all content in the same database.
This way.
Okay. And you are weighting the value, however way you define value, engagement, whatever it might be, under that same lens. And that's why we end up with, it's all porn, it's all cats video, it's all short videos, it's all, like, the most engaging stuff, because you are waiting.
Yeah, you're optimizing for the wrong thing. You're optimizing for attention and engagement.
Hi. You're optimizing for engagement. It could be that you're optimizing for, I don't know, haikus or whatever it might be. Like, you could use whatever algorithm you want, but it's one thing. It's like, you are weighting the value of a picture with the value of a poem or a song.
Yeah.
Or a tweet or a shitpost.
Yeah.
And the reason why I do think that Nostr has a different promise is that scaling Nostr is hard. Like, scaling a single relay.
So it will always fragment.
It tends toward fragmentation.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Yeah.
It naturally tends towards, you are not going to have a billion people using one virtual relay, like one single entity.
Which is also why many small markets is strictly superior to like one big centrally planned instance that distributes goods.
Exactly.
Right, it's a scaling issue as well.
Exactly, and I think the premise of Noster, like what's interesting about it, is that you as the user, with your outbox and with your key and whatnot, you get to decide what the internet is for you at any point in time. And the system can react to how your preferences evolve, how your consumption of content and your interactions, how do they evolve. And you can have completely different weighting of what is valuable to you on different relays. So to me, it's like a much more organic and natural way of approaching the problem of what is worth my attention.
Yeah. Yeah, to me it's a different paradigm in the sense, and I made this comparison just recently. Can you believe it? I appeared in another podcast. German speaking one.
What? Oh my god, the spell has been broken.
Yeah, the one I launched myself. Yeah, thanks. I was asking you to pronounce it. It must sound.
How did I do? Did it sound like Verbeek?
It must sound very similar to Verbeek in your ears. same word basically. 21 and Verbeek. Exactly the same thing. But I feel like to me it's very interesting that all the, I think you made a great point before where all the content types compete with each other basically for attention, because that's the only thing that you have online.
The only metric. Yeah.
And that's why all the platforms turn themselves into TikTok. They have to.
Just look at Substack.
Oh, I know. They have to.
It turned into TikTok. Like, it's so far. Like, yeah. Long form to short videos. It's like, yeah. So far. It's like, you cannot get any further than that.
Yeah, yeah. It's really bad. It's really bad. And the comparison I made was actually to kind of fast food and to, like, if you don't think about what you eat and if it's just about consuming calories, and if it's just about kind of distracting yourself, eating as a form of distraction, then fast food is really appealing.
Yeah, totally.
And I think what the platforms, like, again, I think it comes back to monetization to a large degree. That's why some platforms try to push people into monthly subscriptions and so on, because it is a different way of monetizing. And I think it would be strictly better from a quality perspective. But if you don't do that, you have to cater towards attention.
Yeah.
And the best way to do it is by producing basically like lucid dreams. I think what we're building is like lucid dreaming platforms where, like, that's what TikTok short form videos are. It's like 10 second snippets of whatever you want to dream about.
Yeah.
And it's maximally engaging, so to speak, or maximally, again, it's a Verbeekian term, hyper salient. Like, you, whatever appeals to you the most, that's what will be shown to you.
Yeah.
And if the algorithm doesn't know much about you, it will send something your way that most people in your age bracket with your tastes and your gender and your browsing habits find appealing. And then, like, after like 2 minutes of yes, no scrolling, you're locked in.
Yeah, totally.
And it's literally like a lucid dream. And it will be like that more and more as, you know, more AI generated stuff. They will generate stuff on the fly for you.
Oh, 100%.
That's what they want to do.
No doubt.
I mean, spokespeople already told us that much. That's where they want to go.
I mean, imagine if you are no longer constrained on what is the most addicting for this person for this moment to content that actually exists.
Yeah.
You can just make it on the fly.
Oh, sure. I mean, porn already does that as far as I know. That's like the most, I think not even in the porn department, but also in the like soft porn.
Right.
Like trending towards porn, Instagram kind of content. I highly doubt that, like, the time has long passed where this stuff is real. It used to be filters. It used to be like, you know, Photoshop on steroids. And I'm pretty sure most of the stuff right now that most people consume is just straight up generated.
Who's gonna give jobs to the porn stars now? Developers and porn stars.
There will always be a market. It's just like homegrown, homegrown porn. You know,
well, when Napster came around for musicians, was actually you actually have to go live and perform. So for porn stars, you know, there might be something
same idea.
Similar.
You think so? But I think the Pareto stuff points to an interesting reality, and I think we talked about this in the past, but it's worth repeating. There is a large chunk of Nosser that is just interested in and dealing with music.
Yeah.
And that part really seems to work. And there's, of course, like lots of crossover to the podcasting 2.0, decentralized music kind of movement and so on. But I think for those kind of segments, it can really work where you have your kind of, you fill your niche in some sense. You have a little bit of a following and you make it really frictionless to build a community and to send value around, basically. I think that's kind of the main value proposition. Without needing to self-censor, I think that's kind of the main issue that lots of the platforms have, where it's just like you have to always be wary of being deplatformed. And it's like, can I say that? And like most of the YouTube content that I watch still, like every sentence is like has a little bleep in it somewhere because the people, they have to they have to censor it. Otherwise the video will be demonetized.
Right.
And like, they like to swear and they will say, you know, fucking shit and whatever, and talk about political topics. And they have to, like, they were, for example, one guy was going through the Epstein files, and every time he said, you know, like the rapist or even sex offender or something like that, he had to bleep the words.
Wow.
That's the state
that's
of YouTube,
so
right?
Retarded,
yeah. Yeah. That's really bad, right? That's and I think that's, again, I think the internet needs a corner where you don't have to worry about this stuff too much.
From what I've seen and the conversations that I've had, the people that are trying to make a living out of their content, which is such a fucking insulting word. It's content. Fuck that. Jesus.
Dostoevsky
was making content.
We're producing content right now, man. This is content.
their issue is, like, top of mind is the distribution. You know, it's all about, and that's kind of interesting because a lot of people that I've spoken with, they arrived to the same conclusion that you mentioned briefly a while ago about paywalls and whatnot. Is if your content is behind a paywall,
no one will see it.
Yeah, no one fucking sees it.
Yeah.
So no one reads you.
Yeah.
So
you don't want to artificially restrict the distribution of your content, and that's what the Twitch people figured out, for example. You know, like it's. Everything is everywhere at all times. And everything is reshared and reclipped and like re-uploaded to YouTube and other things and so on. And that's how the content kind of distributes itself naturally. And it's still like, people still pay for it, but they pay for something else.
Right.
I would argue it's similar to OnlyFans and other things, you know, where it's like you actually I'm going to stick with Twitch, otherwise it will just get out of hand. But if you donate to someone on Twitch, like if you subscribe to someone on Twitch, you're not paying, you're not buying the MP4 file. You're not buying the video stream file. You know what I mean? You always had access to that. You're buying something else. And that's something that I think most people in the Bitcoin and Nostra world and so on still don't get, like, at all.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm still ranting. But yeah,
no, but I think it a lot of it comes down from the fact that what everybody in, and I'm going to stick to Substack because that's the one that I know the best. What everybody is trying to replicate on Substack is the early adopters that are making a fucking killing on Substack, of which there are like 20.
Yeah.
Out of millions of writers.
Yeah.
And they're trying to replicate this model where you have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. You have an insane income, an insane MRR.
Yeah.
And It's just by sheer numbers. Not everybody can have that. A very, very, very small few can have that.
Yeah.
So they are all fighting for kind of like a dream. It's a pipe dream, yeah, you know? Yeah.
But it's the same everywhere. A very small percentage of all musicians make all the money. A very small percentage of all movie stars make all the money. A very small percentage of all movies make all the money, you know, and so on and so forth. It's like, it's the same everywhere. Take but, writers and so on. It's like,
but to me, it's interesting the fact that they are being sold that dream of, oh, you can make as much money as this writer. Like, basically, that's what when they are advertising that so-and-so is making this amount, is you could also make this amount, right? Like, if you apply yourself, yeah, you can make that same amount.
Same with OnlyFans. They're being sold a lie.
they're being sold a lie, yeah, into
they're
a trap.
They're prostituting themselves for nothing.
Because you are playing in a market that has already been... It's a winner-takes-most market, where there is already a winner.
Yeah.
And you're gonna bring all your effort and all your whatnot, all your sweat and tears,
yeah,
into a place where basically you cannot win.
Yeah.
Basically it's
worse. And that's actually a good point, because I think that's one thing that Substack actually did right, was the main distribution channel, at least in the beginning, that was the case, I'm not sure how it is now, was email.
Right.
And I think what Nostr allows you to do is to be yourself, find your niche, just do the one thing. Like, no one can be better at being you than you, you know?
Yeah.
And just kind of be yourself without risk of being deplatformed. And you can actually build your digital empire, for lack of a better word, you know, and have people that actually follow you and are interested in the stuff you have to put out. And you can form real connection and you can have real value flowing, again, without intermediaries. And I think that's the value proposition. It just takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of effort to build it out and all those kind of things. But you can actually do it in a way without ever getting rug pulled. And that, to me, is the value proposition, which, of course, coincidentally, to me, is also the value proposition of Bitcoin.
Right.
Like, no rug pulls.
Yeah.
Like, if you're getting rug pulled, you rug pulled yourself. Which is definitely possible.
Which happens.
So, again, no free lunch. No free lunch. That's why a very long time ago, I wrote about, like, how in the Bitcoin world, like, responsibility is, like, programmed in. Like, if you take Bitcoin seriously, and you rearrange your life to live on the Bitcoin standard, for example, you have to be responsible, like at least for your keys, for example,
yeah,
and those kind of things. And in a large, like following up to that also, you have to take your privacy more seriously. You have to take your digital hygiene more seriously and so on. And all of that is true for Nostr as well. Like,
yeah,
if you actually want to go down that route and build out, I think that's why the overlap to the regenerative farmer community is so big. Because if you want to take charge of your life, you actually have to go buy a farm, buy a lot of land, you know, grow your own food, have you know, all those kind of things. But I'm only half joking. Like, I really think that that's why the overlap is so big. Because the same is true on, like, with your digital estate, you know, like, you will actually have to run your own relay, you have to take care of your own key material, you have to run your own node, you have to take care of all those kind of things, you know, like, you actually have to, on the Bitcoin side, you know, like, you have to stamp your fucking words in steel and, like, make sure that they're held somewhere safely.
The whole retail
and
so on.
And then, you know, exactly. And then, and so on and so on. And you'll have to upgrade over time, all those kind of things, you know. And I mean, just looking at myself, at my own, like, Nostr infrastructure, like, I run multiple relays, I have multiple Blossom servers, and like, I have to take care of all this stuff just like you would have to, you know, like, plow the field and milk the cows in the morning, you know? It's just like, it's work, but it's also rewarding in the sense that you at least know that's yours.
Yeah.
And you're not, you know, just renting the YouTube channel. And I mean, it always breaks my heart every time I see someone who has built a life around a certain platform for the last 10, 15 years, whatever. And then by just some, whatever, sometimes it's just like straight up bureaucratic mistake or whatever, they just get nuked off the planet. And everything's gone. Like, their whole library, everything, the whole output that they produced over the last 15 years, completely gone, no backups. It's insane. It's completely insane, right?
The backup is in the cloud.
if only someone would have made t-shirts and stickers and so on that says the cloud is just someone else's computer. If only. Well, anyway. Anyway, let's see. Let's see how it goes. I mean, again, but again, there's no free lunch in that sense. Like, it actually is work, and it actually requires a certain amount of thought and care and responsibility to take care of your digital infrastructure and so on. So I doubt that. I'm only mentioning that because I doubt that the masses will ever do that. Maybe the markets will solve that, and maybe, you know, like, enough people will be willing to pay for it in a sense, and I think it will get easier and easier to self-host and so on.
I think it will get easier and easier, and I think the I'm a forever optimist. I think the level of complacency that everybody has, like all these assumptions that we have on how people behave, are coming down from an observation of the current world of the fast food. Yeah. And we haven't even identified, like, that digitally we are all being served fast food. Like, people,
most people haven't realized
it. Like, 99.9999% of people on fucking Nostr don't know that yet. Like, it is the lack of awareness of we're at. It is, and I think that complacency that we have, it's in the cloud, like all these things.
Yeah.
In one hand, the tech will get better. It will be easier to do all these things. Distribution will also come, which, you know, brings, like, okay, I'm doing all this work for a reach of, like, maybe 500 people will see what I'm writing. Like, I think all these lines will converge in, like, will go in the right direction together. Yeah. But I also think that people will care more when they, like, you know, like...
Also, 500 is a very respectable number.
You can, like, make a living. You can make
imagine going up to a podium and there's like 500 people actually listening to you.
Yeah, 100%.
That's a lot of people.
That is a fuckload of people.
Yeah. I also think the whole, like, everything is completely out of whack right now. Because if you're not making like 10 million views, you're a loser, you know?
Totally.
That's kind of...
of which 99 are bots.
Yeah, of course. But it's everything so out of whack where just... It's... I hope that we can return to a smaller, more sane world. And I hope that Nostr can help with that. Because you actually... I mean, there's lots has been written about those kind of things in the past. There was this one book. There was actually a very well-known author, but I'm drawing a blank now. But the 1,000
True Fans. Yeah, 1,000 True Fans, Kevin Kelly.
Ah, there you go, Kevin Kelly, right. And there is a lot of truth in that. That's the right size. You know what I mean? You don't need 20 million true fans. Like, that's completely, that's like, you're missing the mark by so much.
but I think the problem is that because all content, going back, all content is being compared and weighed under the same scale.
Yeah.
You cannot have 1,000 true fans. Like,
no,
you either have 20 million or you have nothing.
On the bright side, that's what makes all, and in the long run will make all the platforms kind of vanish and crumble. Like, because it turns itself into a unified slop machine.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally, we're moving from the slop machines of social media to the slop machines of AI and AI generated content. And everyone will have to produce the same slop, just like all the fast food chains have to produce the same fast food.
Yeah, 100%.
And equally cheaply, and like the only thing that's missing from the food is nutrition. You know? Like, taste is there, it's
calories,
cheap, it's great.
It.
But like health and nutrition, that's like nowhere to be found.
But here's what I've been making this point in private conversations a lot. But look at the health industry. Like, fast, it came as a byproduct of noticing fast food, and it is a real huge industry with a lot of people that create that kind of product. There's McDonald's still exists.
Ah, sure.
But there are many, many, many companies building products for the health conscious people.
Yeah.
And I think for digital health,
we don't have that much yet. Yeah, yeah.
I think there's an insane demand.
Yeah.
I go to subreddits that have nothing to do with tech. They have And you can notice the appeal and for the nostalgia of a lot of these products. And I think one thing that, like, you and me and I think people in our circles, we tend to disregard the nostalgia for the GeoCities and, like, the look and feel of the current cybersecurity product website that we think, oh, it's because we are this age, you know, and we look back. But people that are young, they don't mention by name that nostalgia, but they do crave the products that are not just influencer slop.
Yeah,
you know, like real connections. See,
yeah.
So I think that the
there is very young people that are also drawn towards like gramophones and like very old style like vinyl players and so on.
Yes.
That's a fair comparison, right? Where it's like, 100%. They're not from that era, but they still prefer that to like, a, I don't know, like an iTunes subscription.
And you don't have to replace Twitter or TikTok.
By the way, fun fact, the path we're walking right now, can you see here? That's the tracks.
Yeah.
That's from the Romans. That's like 3,000 years old.
No fucking way.
Yeah. That's from Holy Roman carts shit. being wow. moved. Yeah, they went this path a lot, as you can tell. It's like, you know, like a meter deep in terms of...
That's... wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
The path we're walking is called the Roman path.
I thought you were going to say, like, Second World War, but... it's a little bit older.
It's very, very old.
See, and we crave it.
Yeah, yeah. We are like, wow, that's amazing. look at the look and feel. Look at the UX of that thing. It's great. It worked 3,000 years ago. It still works today. That's what we're trying to build, right? Like something that still works, like in many, many years and decades
totally.
From now.
Totally.
I mean, that's why I switched my whole online identity to Noster only like a long while ago, because I realized, okay, like this thing has legs and it will still work like, you know, 30 years from now, even if it means I'm running the only relay that exists, right? Like I can just make it work indefinitely. And you can't say the same thing about whatever GeoCities, YouTube, what have you, you know, Substack and everything else. And I think that's a big appeal in the sense of if you actually understand how it works, you can just... That's also why my personal homepage, for example, is just static HTML. And it's just like, it's Jekyll. It's a Jekyll site.
Right.
And it's just generated static HTML. And the reason why I built it this way is not only because I hate JavaScript and all the frameworks, but I know it's built to last. It's like just, I slap a whatever web server on it and it's bound to work. And I think we... Also, outside of the Noster community, to your point, there's lots of people that crave that and want to have that. And like we talked a lot about the self-hosting community, right? The local first people local first, and so on. And but there's also, I think what we are, again, making the comparison to fast food and those kind of things, there's a lot of people right now that are quitting everything and they're straight up fasting.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
With food, you can't do that, by the way. With digital stuff, you can actually do it. Like you can... you know, like you can actually detox massively, but I'm still a technologist at heart. I wanna have technology. I just don't want the technology to rape me and spy on me and spit in my face and just telling me that it's raining, right? It's like that's the current state of technology.
It totally is.
And I think there is a better way, and I think the Noster has a big role to play in it. So that would be my summary, I guess.
Yeah, I mean if you look at like the email marketing people, like info product people, they are very heavy on email, and they like people like Ben Settle, like they say it's they're a one.
Yeah, because you actually own the email list.
Yeah, you have the fucking email address.
That's the only reason. It's the only reason.
It literally is
the only reason.
And what they do is spend literally 0 minutes on social media. Don't even have a social media because it doesn't matter if you have 10 million followers, they can be taken away like that. Yeah. Only take people to your email list. It's the final destination.
Yeah. Everything else is a funnel for the email.
Exactly. And I think for people like that, that have that point of view, you go in with an Noster pitch, oh, no, Noster is different, blah, 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 and they will say, fuck you. I've been burned before.
Yeah, sure. I mean, same with Bitcoin, right? Same thing. Same thing.
Exactly
the same thing. Yeah. Use that. Use the magic internet money. And you know, everything will work flawlessly and you'll be rich over time.
I was listening to you probably know who Nick Fuentes is.
I
didn't know before either.
Yeah, I wouldn't call myself a Nick Fuentes expert, but
I'm a Nick Fuentes connoisseur now.
I know the name. I know some memes. That's about it.
So apparently the guy was like the platform from like PayPal and Visa and whatnot.
Of course.
Like 4 or 5 years ago.
I mean, he has outlandish political opinions.
Yeah. I guess. Moderate. And the guy, he disbelieves on everything is a conspiracy. Everything is like the CIA out to get you and whatnot.
Yeah.
He went for like high risk payment credit card processors and whatnot. Nobody would take the guy.
Yeah.
And he ended up on Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And he fucking hates Bitcoin. it's a fucking total scam. But for like now, I think he has a CIA credit card processor. Yeah, CIA credit, like the whole everything, you know. Yeah. But the guy was using it because it was like the only thing
that worked. Yeah.
Like he would immediately sell it. I'm guessing he would immediately sell it for sure. But he was using the thing because he was cornered into it.
yeah. I think Nostr will have a similar fate for a couple of people. Where it's kind of the final, the last bastion, the last thing that works, the last tool that works, where you can actually, it's actually surprising to me that we didn't get any, there aren't any people on Nostr that I know of that were deplatformed everywhere else.
Mm. I think
before they join Nostr, they will start their own social network. That has been the pattern that I observed.
Yeah, but I think it's a bit because like just the timing of what happened with Elon and Twitter and like oh no everybody's a free speech.
Absolutely. Yeah, Blue Sky as well.
What?
I mean, lots of people went to Blue Sky for you know like oh that's the actual green pasture.
Yeah.
That's the actual free speech zone.
Yeah, for the liberals that. But it's interesting, like one of the interesting things that people point to with Blue Sky is that it censors, right? And one of the reasons why, like I think the second reason why people leave Substack the most is that they don't censor enough.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
How so? Like explain that more. It's like there is atrocious stuff on Substack and that's why they leave?
Substack is like, Substack, it's kind of like the pitch is a bit like rumbly, you know, ish, in the sense of, oh, you can come in, you own your audience and whatnot. And it's kind of like free speech adjacent. Mm-hmm. It's like they are positioning themselves. Obviously, there is a door to knock, so obviously that will not hold. But they did allow like, I don't know, like what the left calls neo-Nazi content. It might be someone that said something pro-Trump or something like that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people started leaving because of that citing. They are allowing this hate speech and whatnot in the platform, so I'm going to Patreon. You know, a lot of people are leaving towards patrons and stuff like that. It's the second most popular reason.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, I think that's also something that is quite interesting about Nostr, that it's not one big Substack.
Yeah,
you know, it's your relay.
Yeah. You don't say
share.
I'm gonna leave email just because sent a bad email.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have the burden.
But I think
it's a stupid thought.
I think people aren't at the point yet to understand Nostr as a protocol. And I think this will take time.
But I think
because there's some like Blue Sky role plays as a protocol basically.
But the reason why people don't perceive it that way. It's because we are not building it that way. You turn primal.
Yeah,
and there's
fair
one
enough.
Experience.
Yeah.
You join whatever. And it's like this one experience. And sure, if you're like very technically inclined, you can select your relays and you can be like on the Thai Nostr. It's not designed in that way. Like the protocol absolutely allows for that. But none of the applications really are going for this. More like the way I'm seeing it is, the relay is like a magazine and you subscribe to a magazine, you don't quit magazines because there's a magazine that you don't like. You just don't fucking read the fucking magazine and that's it.
But to be fair, Nostr doesn't work like that yet. Like most relays have most of the content, right? There's no... Again,
I think that it's also back to the function of the product.
I agree. But also back to the, like, it's a fool's errand to try to box content in. Content, especially viral content, will proliferate across relays.
I don't agree with that.
No,
because you can simply just whitelist who can write on the
I'll just hit rebroadcast and I'm whitelisted in most relays.
My relay simply doesn't allow you, like, this public to publish. My relay only allows these 200 publics to publish.
Yeah, sure. No, I just mean, like, if something is like, viral, one of the 200 will republish it to your relay. That's my point.
Yeah, but if you copy and paste and whatnot, I think that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. With a retweet or like a quote tweet or whatever.
So, for example, on the Agora relay, so each relay.
But I do agree. Sorry to interrupt, but I do agree with your point because I do have personal relays, and that's a very small subset of the whole Nostrverse is on that relay because it's just for my personal backup.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think like relay feeds, it's what's interesting.
Yeah,
it's
why I do agree.
You subscribe, like, and you can select five relays, which in your mind, they are the same kind of thing.
Yeah, I think in the long run, Nostr will actually be something else entirely. I mean, it obviously started as a Twitter clone, but I think the other thing that was successful in terms of grouping was Reddit with subreddits.
Yeah,
and I think we'll have a mix in the sense of you will follow Relay and you will have like relay-based feeds and also, algo-based feeds and so on and so on. But it will just still take time to play out because most people, I think, the reason why I mentioned that before is like if you talk to, I don't talk to people, as you know. I hate people. Fuck people, man. But if you read online, and it's like you read on Hacker News, you read on Reddit, you read on whatever Blue Sky and whatever in other networks, so to speak, what they say about Nostr is like, it's just like this app. It's this app for like crypto people.
Yeah,
no, not even
Bitcoin
people. Crypto people. It's this crypto app. Isn't this the crypto app? You know, like. And I think that's where the level of understanding is for most people. We're not at the, email is actually a protocol kind of stage yet. Because I'm sure in the beginning it was like AT&T or whatever, and I don't know what, the email was such a new thing, people were not able to wrap their head around it. It was like one product by one company, basically, is what I'm trying to say, right? And I think that's where we're at in the development cycle of Nostr, like kind of socially speaking.
Yeah, but I think the way we are designing products is playing on that hand, like piling on that perception of you to treat relays in this generic way, and not like I see, say for example, you wanted to use, let's say Amethyst, for example, to use Nostr in this way, it's in this like magazine type of way, in this the really is like this group of like content or community or group, like it's some type of abstract curation.
Yeah, there's very few clients that do that. There's Jumble, right?
So fucking hard.
And there's like two more.
There's like a few, but even the experience itself, it's kind of weird. And again, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's hard to use Nostr in this way, so you end up using the relays as this generic content bucket. I think there is a lot of work that we, but I think we need to break with this paradigm of this is how we like Nostr clients work. They look like Twitter. Kind of the experience. I think subreddit is a much more compelling way of thinking about how to build up a client.
I think it's also, it will depend on your form factor in the sense of like the mobile clients will look very different than desktop clients. And this is already emerging. This is already happening.
Yeah.
And there is interesting clients. I mean, Grimoire, for example, there's all these clients now that are kind of desktop power user clients. And I myself, for example, I use many different Nostr clients and they're all kind of special purpose, or many of them are special purpose. I still use Amethyst as my main driver, like my daily driver, which is of course comical because it's the everything client basically. And here I am talking about special purpose clients. No, but I'm serious.
The mist.
Jesus. Yeah, there
that's
you
so
go.
Cool.
Yeah. It can be pretty if you're not depressed, it's a very pretty place. If you are already depressed, you're going to have a bad time here.
You're depressed. The environment tells you, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah,
life
yeah,
is worthless.
Yeah. No, next 6 months, just kill yourself. Do it. Get it over right now. It's like you won't see the sunlight for many months. Just get it done. No, but there is a client written by a Japanese guy. I can't pronounce the name like at all. It sounds something like it. It has a little postage stamp in the top left. And the only purpose is to send a kind one note. And it shows nothing else. It's an empty text field, right?
Yeah.
And it does things really well with like also posting images, file upload and so on. And many times I just want to write something and I don't want to see anything else, right?
Yeah.
Because if I open any client, I'll be in the feed.
Yeah.
And I'll see something. I'm immediately distracted, you know. And so I have this as one of my... I have this as my homepage, basically. Like, I open up my browser, and this thing is in one of the tabs. I have, like, three or four tabs that open up. And that's one of them. Because if I want to post something that's on my mind, I'm just going to go ahead and hit post. I'm just going to send it. Not even looking at Nostr, basically, right? And, I mean... And there's a bunch of other special purpose clients that I think are interesting. Like, I don't know, like... Then we come back to like what is a Nostr client. But again, me posting stuff, for example, like this recording right now, if I say some magic words there, it's automatically posted to Nostr. And then Caster, which is obviously, you know, a Nostr client that transforms a Nostr feed into an RSS feed, picks it up and pushes it out as an RSS feed. And all this is like special purpose. It's not very user facing, but it's like special purpose clients do exist.
Absolutely. No, no, no.
Oh, another one. The search that I built also Boris.
Like, ants.
I keep a close, like one of the tabs that opens up in my browser. It's like the ants search for most recent highlights, what people have highlighted. And I always, every single day, I discover one or two interesting articles this way. And like all those kind of little things. It's a read-only client. Like it's ants can't do shit. It's just like... You know, it's just doing search.
No. I mean, of course, I absolutely agree with that. And I think this special purposes client, it's endless design space.
Yeah. But you have a point. I mean, there's Primal and there's, you know, there's all these products, so to speak. There's Primal, Amethyst, Damos, and so on. And that's, if we're being honest, that's like... For most people, that's the first touch point.
That's what Nostr is.
Yeah.
For most people.
Yeah. It's and like... they don't make the switch to another client. But I think I think right now that's also fine because probably like 10% of them do. It's very similar to Bitcoin, right? Like most people that get into Bitcoin don't stay with Bitcoin. And they will get into shitcoining or they are fiat maxes. And you know, we'll have to live with that, I guess.
Yeah. And I think we'll find. I'm still very hopeful in the sense of...
I realized that was all very pessimistic talk from my side.
It's the environment, you know. It's the mist.
No, that's fine. I still think we're fine. I still think... Like, on the positive side, I'm actually amazed about how well things work.
Yeah.
It's probably because there's very few people using Nostr. No, but I really mean it. Like even stuff that came out of Sovereign Engineering, it's amazing to me how well this stuff works.
Yeah.
Like I use Blossom every single day without thinking about it, without anything.
Yeah, it's just one more tool.
And I see it absolutely everywhere. It's integrated everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's like most of the links are Blossom links and so on. And just kind of how buggy Nostr was in the beginning. It's amazing. Like I think I told this in the past. I told it in one of the conversations that came up. Like, it's my go-to method to see if I'm online or not. It's like, I you know, I launch my Nostr client and I refresh. because I can immediately tell, like, if new stuff is streaming in and coming in, then I know I'm on. If I'm offline, it still kind of works, but I only see my stuff that I just recently posted, right? Which is great. Like, it's fantastic.
You're online-ish.
Yeah, exactly. And just like all the stuff that you've been working on, and just NIP60, NIP61, and so on, it really, really works. Like, yeah, it's all the stuff really works. And just kind of the clients became more polished, and like even video and shit works.
I think we've been on this like professionalizing mode in the past 6 months, 9 months, that where there is a lot of very solid frameworks, very solid relays. Like, I think we're in technically we're in very good shape.
Yeah, okay.
Except my brother. Yeah. I'm fucking dying.
All right. Any last words before you take a piss?
No.
Because we're not going to record this.
I can only all think right of one thing.
Thanks for indulging me.
Oh, thanks all for right the walk. Let's thanks see for the drink.
Yeah. Let's see if we can draw this to a close. And yeah, we'll have to do the other thing another time. But for now, it was just a walk and a recording, which is great.
It was very nice.
All right. All right, we managed.